From Duval, Washington, it's the 407 Cast. Here's your host, RSD Superintendent, Dr. Susan Leach.
Hello, and welcome to the 407 Cast, your window into the dynamic world of education in the Riverview School District, where we discuss our achievements, the challenges we face, and the innovative ways we are accelerating learning, and we're excited you chose to listen in. Hello, welcome to this week's edition of the 407 Cast. My guest this week is Mr. Ben Hambleton. Ben is what we call an ML specialist at Cherry Valley Elementary. Ben, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me today. I'm excited to be here.
I've been looking forward to this conversation, but before we get started, can you just tell our listeners what an ML specialist is?
So ML stands for multilingual or multilingual learners, and I work with the multilingual learners program at Cherry Valley. And a multilingual learner is a student whose family and the students speak additional languages at home. Sometimes more than one or two languages are spoken at home. It's such an asset. And when our students start kindergarten or move into our district as multilingual learners, students qualify to receive extra English language development support through our multilingual learners program.
Before we get into what you do, could you talk a little bit about your path to today? What was your training and career steps that led you to where you are right now?
I grew up not too far away from here in Salton, Washington. After high school, I knew I liked learning languages and studying languages, so studying Spanish had been a passion of mine in high school. So when I went to Western Washington University, I majored in Spanish, also became interested in education. So I started out going for my Spanish teaching degree. So I started out teaching in high school, and the teacher that I worked with, she also taught English as a second language. I also ended up getting my endorsement to teach English as a second language. And right now I'm called an ML specialist, but the terminology has really changed over the years from like ESL, English as a second language, and then it shifted towards English language learners, ELL, yeah. And now it's even more like asset-based as multilingual learners and acknowledging the broad range of skills and languages that are brought to us through our multilingual learners. I started out up in Bellingham teaching Spanish and English in a high school. I was really young and it was very intimidating to do student teaching and in high school teaching like Spanish and English as a second language. It was definitely a big challenge. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do after I finished my student teaching. And an opportunity came up to go teach English in Greenland. My first real teaching job was teaching English as a third language in Greenland at a tiny little school on a frozen little island in northwest Greenland. I lasted 2 years there. I somehow survived in the cold and dark northwest Greenland with Danish teachers and Greenlandic teachers and in this really cool school community as their English teacher at the school.
I did not know that.
Fun fact. But then I really loved the aspect of teaching English, and I kind of stuck with that. I never really went back to teaching Spanish again. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back to the Seattle area, my first job that I got back in the Seattle area was teaching English language learners middle school math. Not a lot of people go into teaching English to become a math teacher. That was also kind of intimidating because I had considered myself a language teacher. And my first job back in the Seattle area was teaching math to students who were multilingual learners in a very diverse part of Seattle in Beacon Hill. And it was a very exciting place to be and a very cool population of students and families and really unique school and awesome teachers that I worked with as the math teacher for English learners. That's where I really grew a lot because we had a really strong team of teachers that planned the math lessons and taught them, much like our working on here in Riverview with our PLTs, where we used a lot of formative assessments to figure out, okay, what do our students know? What do they need to know? And if they already know it, how are we going to push them and challenge them even more? So I was able to join that team and then bring in the lens of, okay, and what language skills do students need to both understand the math or to be able to show their thinking and express themselves in English, especially in academic English language, highly specialized, for example, like what terms do students need to use to explain geometry or fractions or decimals? So I brought that to the team and it was a big success and carried that forward with me here as I work with students and teachers in Riverview now, helping students access the content and having the language skills to explain their thinking or show what they know.
When I worked as a school psychologist, one of the things that I would see in larger urban areas were multilingual learners that had really great conversational English but were struggling, and the teacher automatically assumed that there must be a disability. You touched on something that I would always talk about, which is academic English. I would love if you could explain the difference between conversational English and academic, and why a student who may sound like they have a pretty decent level of proficiency could still be struggling at school.
What I've learned through working with English learners over the years is we have social language, which develops first, and that's the language of school, the language of the playground, and for navigating day-to-day life. And that's the social language that develops pretty quickly within months to the first few years of being exposed to English language. And then academic language skills can take up to 7 years to develop real proficiency and fluency with academic language. So, for example, if I talk with a student in the hallway and we carry on this great conversation about who they ate lunch with or what they did at recess, I would think, oh, wow, this student has a really advanced, great proficiency level in English. I'm sure this will translate to success in the classroom. But then if I go into the classroom and, for example, I see, oh, I look at their writing and I'm like, oh, but they don't have the academic language skills to explain their thinking in science or math or social studies, because each content area has highly specialized vocabulary that doesn't really appear in day-to-day conversational English. Again, just back to your question, there's kind of the difference of the social language development that occurs quickly and then the academic language skills that take many years to develop and require explicit instruction and support and strategies from us teachers.
At Cherry Valley right now, how many different languages are your students speaking?
Currently in my program of students that I work directly with, I have about 44 students and then a pretty wide range of languages such as Spanish, French, Russian, Japanese, Urdu, Telugu, and then there's a wide range of many different languages from India and South Asia. It's a long list of one student or two students that speak different languages from India, and that's one group of our population that has really grown in the last few years. When I first started in Riverview in 2013, a big majority of our language group was Spanish speakers, and then over the last 10 years or so, it has really shifted to be incredibly more linguistically diverse, with way more language groups represented in our community.
How do you help such a diverse group of students with so many different language backgrounds?
That is a question that I do get from time to time. It's like, how do you help students when you don't speak their language? It starts with being a welcoming classroom and a welcoming school community for families, for students, helping students and families feel proud of their home language and culture and feel included and part of our school community. And then working with teachers and working with staff members to make sure that families have access to communication and access to being able to ask for things that they need, whether how to get home on the bus or where to go on the website or how to use Parent Square to communicate directly with teachers. And that is one thing that has changed for me over the last few years is I used to often have parents reach out to me to ask a question that I would then relay to the teacher and then go back to the parent and then back to the teacher. And in the last 2 years or so with Parent Square, I haven't had as much parent contact as I used to have in the past years. And I feel a little bit weird about it. I'm like, am I not doing something right? But then I'm realizing, no, parents are talking directly to the teachers more through some of our tools that we've added because we have better two-way communication. We have better translation tools for parents and teachers to communicate directly with each other.
I'm glad to hear people are benefiting from that. The rate at which technology is changing and growing, are there tools that help with your work?
There have been a lot of changes in the last few years, especially. Like, I've seen translation tools getting better. For example, If I have a parent meeting, I like to start a PowerPoint and then enable captions in a language. So the PowerPoint is capturing what I'm saying or what people in the meeting are saying in English, but then the subtitles are then translated into a family's home language. Mm-hmm. And that's been a tool I've started trying to make more of a habit and use more often when I meet with parents. And it's not perfect, but it captures the vast majority of the sentiment of what we're trying to get across with each other. And so that's one example of a tool that has improved and that has helped me communicate with families in meetings, in addition to Parent Square. Sometimes Parent Square, like, we will meet with a parent or a family and help them get set up for the first time. And then once it's figured out, then they're off and parents are communicating directly with teachers. And that's been powerful.
I know we at the district, we've tried some different tools. A couple years ago, we purchased the Pocket Talks that allowed us to communicate. I speak in English, I hand it to the parent, and they get the translation in their native language and vice versa. And I'm sure the technology is advanced from there. In fact, I know it has, because we have another tool that we've been piloting that is more like an AirPod type of device, where if I'm speaking to someone, they have the AirPod and it translates into their native language or whatever language they have selected in the program. So there are some pretty fascinating things happening that are making our ability to communicate with someone in a different language so much more seamless than it has been over the years. I have a question, because I think this work has really changed over the years. Early on, when we had students that spoke a different language, the thinking was, mom, dad, don't speak to them at home. They need to learn English. They should only be exposed to English. And over time, I think there's been more of an appreciation for what a student being proficient in multiple languages brings to them. And so now we encourage parents, yes, keep your language at home. It's okay. You're not hurting your child. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Happy to. Often when I chat with new kindergarten families as they're registering, parents often express concern or ask questions like, should we speak our home language, or should we speak English at home, or will my child be delayed in language learning in kindergarten? And the resounding answer from research and the field of English language learning and teaching is, being bilingual and biliterate is a huge asset, and students can build upon the literacy skills in their home language to help them learn to read and write in English. So to families who are wondering, for sure, please keep up and maintain your home language at home. It's a huge asset, both in learning to read and write in English at school, as well as in the future for communicating with other community members and in college and career. I do want to point out my colleague at the high school, Genevieve Nagata, has been a real champion for the seal of biliteracy.
Yes.
For students who can take a test and they can get college credit and they can have a seal on their diploma that recognizes that they are biliterate. Mm-hmm. So it's not too early to think about it if you're a family with kindergartners or elementary schoolers, to maintain the home language and use that as a real asset in your child's future.
Yeah, I love that that's changed. I feel like there are people in my generation who really regret that they don't have their parents' language because they were discouraged at home from speaking it. So they may know a few words or phrases, but they will say, like, oh, I wish I knew more. But it was so discouraged during that time that people didn't do that. So I love that we are encouraging that and following the research on that. Ben, one of the things I think Cherry Valley is doing incredibly well this year is the professional learning community process. Could you talk about your role in the professional learning teams and how that would benefit the students that you work with?
Learning more about the professional learning teams and participating in them this year at Cherry Valley has been a really great experience so far. At the beginning of the year, Principal Mrs. Mormon asked me to join a team because each team meets every other week. I was actually able to join two teams because I can join one team one week and the next week join another team. So I jumped in with the third grade team and the second grade team at Cherry Valley, two grade levels where I have a high population of multilingual learners that I work with. I jumped in with the third grade team and they had decided to work on math and math intervention. Teaching math and thinking about the language skills needed for math has always been a passion of mine mm-hmm. since my early experience as a math teacher. So I was eager to jump in and try out adding on some language-based activities that could help the students understand the problems from their math curriculum. And so I've been partnering with the third grade team and meeting with groups of multilingual learners and their peers when we do a walk-to model where kids move from their classroom to a different classroom to get the skills that they need based on what the data is showing us. Okay, this group of students is struggling with subtraction, for example, borrowing or regrouping from three-digit subtraction. And so we were able to break it down into small groups and just focus on one specific skill, like helping students organize their thinking, helping students choose a tool or manipulative that worked for them. And then one thing that I was kind of able to bring in was, okay, now what language do students need to use to be able to talk about it or to explain their thinking with their peers? And so we designed specific activities like a word sort, for example, or bringing in anchor charts that students could refer to and interact with that had all of the math vocabulary words on the chart for students to look at as they're doing the work.
And I know that as a result of this, your students are making some pretty incredible growth this year. Is that correct? That's what I'm hearing anyway.
Yeah, it's always fun to celebrate our hard work. And so we were able to celebrate looking at our students' iReady data in math from the beginning of the year to now. And seeing that the growth is happening. So it tells us that we're on the right path, and I'm looking forward to working more with the teams at Cherry Valley during our PLT time.
Well, I'm hearing the music again, which means that our time is already up. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate this conversation and shining a light on the great work that you're doing, Ben. Thank you for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening, and join us again next week when we continue our conversations about all things education. Thank you.